As Pastor Teresa said, we are in the middle of a series called The One Another Life. And last week, Pastor John, he preached a beautiful message about the shepherd's heart. If you haven't watched that yet, go to YouTube and check it out. He unpacked what it means to genuinely care for others, okay? He talked about sitting together with people, eating meals together, praying together, encouraging one another. And basically, he likened it to how a shepherd cares for his sheep. Now, that message was, who liked that message? Is anyone in the room? He did it morning and night. Great message. It was encouraging. For me, it was convicting. And I've got to be honest with you all, because that pastoral thing, to always love, be compassionate, always thinking of others, you may think it's easy for me, but it doesn't actually come natural. It's something that I've struggled with, and it's something I've actually had to learn to get better at. It's very quiet. I feel like you're judging me. Don't you go judging me here. I'm just being honest. Far out. See, I still love people. I love God. But you see, I'm a businessman. So this is what it is. I love the promises of God. I love seeing people succeed. I love activating my gift of faith, seeing breakthrough, leading people, building things, thriving in the marketplace, and helping finance what we do here to reach people on the Sunshine Coast and beyond. That's my lane, okay? And for some of you, your lane may be something else as well. It may be sports, music, I don't know, politics, your family, your career. Maybe it's the prophetic. Maybe it's a passion for the supernatural. And I just want to say that's okay, because that's how God wired you. It's actually okay that the pastoral gift that we're going to be talking about isn't your dominant gift, okay? I reckon even in a church like ours, we really value the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but I reckon even in this room here, there's probably only 20% of us that really have that dominant pastoral gift. And you know what? I'm so thankful for that 20% of you, because I just got to give a shout out and give honor where honor's due. Our pastors, and with the dominant gift of pastoring, they're there in the crisis moments. They give up their time doing hospital visits, doing meals, running connect groups, and just pastoring different demographics. And the list just goes on and on. I'm not even scratching the surface. But when I think about that, that's 20%. I think about it, well, where does that leave the 80% of us? The rest of us here in this room. Because if we read tonight's scripture, the setting where Jesus said this was in the upper room. And it was his 12 disciples in the room. Now, what Jesus didn't do, he didn't pull Peter and John aside. And he's like, okay, you two definitely have the pastoral gift. So here is this new command I'm giving you. Did he? Did it say to Peter and John? It didn't. He just said, he addressed the whole room, all of the disciples in the room, and he said, a new command I give you. He addressed everyone in the room. All of the disciples were in the room. Now, Jesus, he's a pretty smart guy. So if he knew that we weren't all wired that way, why did he give the command to all of us and to all of them in the room that time? I'll try and explain it this way, okay? So just recently, my wife and I and the children, we took a trip to Europe. It was about a six-week trip, and I ate way too much. And right now, you may not be able to tell, but I actually go to the gym a few times a week, okay? More and more. I love going to the gym. Thank you. Now here's the thing, all right? Ready? Mondays, I love Monday. Who goes to the gym? If you go to the gym, you know Monday is chest day, baby. I love doing chest. Am I, anyone in the room? Chest and buys, Monday, that is my favourite day. It's easy. It comes natural. You get the mad pump on. If you don't know what that is, the blood just starts flowing and you actually start to see muscles pop into your, popping up on the mirrors and whatnot else. I'm not about to take off my shirt. Because here's the thing. That's Monday, but then Friday comes along. And it's leg day. Oh, I hate leg day. I hate leg day. It's hard. I know it's good for me. It just doesn't come naturally because it's hard. But just because it's hard, get this, just because it's hard doesn't mean I skip leg day. I'd be out of balance up here. This would be out of balance right here. Be top heavy. And the thing is though, this is it. This is very important. These legs actually support the rest of my body. I can't skip leg day. It's part of my full makeup. And Paul actually wrote to the church in Corinth about this. He said that the church, that's us. It's not a building. It's not an institution. That's you and me. We are like a body with many parts, yet we are all as one. So in our series, the overarching emphasis is that Jesus, he is the good shepherd. And in our own unique makeup, whatever that looks like, we're all called to be more like him. That's what the core of this series is. That's the challenge Jesus is giving us here. And we'll look at what that looks like in a moment. But I reckon if pastoring is your jam tonight, you're going to get on fire. I just believe that. I think you're going to actually step into the next level and the next stage. And if you're a little bit like me where you're like, that isn't really what I think my calling is, I think the Holy Spirit is going to speak tonight. And we just, and I just know that it's not just going to help you, but it's going to help you get closer to Jesus and really step into all that he has for your life. Is that good? Awesome. Let's dive into this scripture to kind of get some context as we get going tonight. So John 13:34, we read it earlier on. A new command I give you. So really quickly, this isn't a new command as such. In the Old Testament, God already gave that command to us to love one another, love your neighbor as yourself. So what really Jesus is saying here when I looked into this, because Jesus didn't come to do away with the law, okay? He came to fulfill the law. That's what we got to get our head around. And then when he says this here, a new command I give you, it's not a new command either. It's just a high standard. Jesus is showing us, here is actually how I want you to be able to achieve this, okay? Because back then, no one was able to do all the things that the law said. But Jesus came, and as we'll find out, he actually helps us to live and get as close as possible to be like him. More and more, that's the goal. To love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you. The question I've got is, what does that actually look like? As Jesus has loved us. We know that he died on a cross. And if you don't know that, at the end of the service, like Pastor Teresa said, I want to lead you in a prayer that is going to connect you with Jesus, your creator, and your life will never be the same. And you're going to discover who he is as we go on this journey here tonight. But when you read through the Bible, I've just kind of pulled a few words out that describe Jesus' love. This doesn't do him justice, but we can't be here all night. If I start telling you every story and what defines his love, we're going to be here for hours upon hours. But here's just a few words that have really kind of captured my spirit. And it's this: his love is unconditional. His love is sacrificial. He was humble. His love towards us is patient. His love towards us is servant-hearted, compassionate, forgiving. His love towards us is truthful. He's not afraid to call someone out. not because he wants to drag them down, but because he loves them so much that he wants to go them to another level, that he wants people to go to another level. And then out of that truth, straight away, his love is empathetic. Man, when you experience Jesus, he's just so empathetic. He understands what we're going through because he walked it. Years, for 33 years, he experienced what we go through. He's merciful. His love is inclusive. He shows his love through provision, through time spent with us, and he prays for us. Man, Jesus is your intercessor. His blood, the Bible says, his blood cries out for us every day. It intercedes for us night and day. And here's the thing, his love is everlasting. It's set. It's set. It will not change. He loves us. It's a pretty high standard. And if you're anything like me, you're like, well, how am I ever going to measure up to that? It's a good question. How could we ever love as he loved us? We can't. Not in our own strength. This is the beautiful thing. But when you get to a place like that and you actually understand, I'm so far from actually reaching up to what Jesus is asking me to do, that's exactly the place that he wants us in. Because we try and do it in our own strength, probably it's from different motives and it's not pure anyway. And Jesus, he's our best friend. He actually wants to help us in this. So the Bible actually promises us that it's in our utter dependence on him that his love is made perfect in us. It's when we just say, Jesus, I can't even do this. I can't even start. I failed again. And we admit that to him, that his love is made perfect in us. And here's the thing. I reckon as Jesus gave this command, he knew that some of us would struggle to love one another at that level. Most of us would probably fail. And I do. So, which is totally fine. But he knew that if we actually wanted to make a go of this, when we were serious about following this command, that the impact that we would have on the world and the actual people around us, here in this room, at our workplace, in our families, in our businesses. And here's the thing, we just got to become willing. That's the starting place. And then the Holy Spirit, he's our helper. He actually helps us get this in those areas where naturally it doesn't come like a thing that you're good at. And that's me. I believe the Holy Spirit has actually helped me get better and better at this one another life, so which I'm so thankful for. But that is the power of as I have loved you. It's not actually, it's a standard that I don't think we'd ever be able to reach. But in him and through him, he actually wants to walk that walk with us. Come on. He did set a high standard. So that is the example that Jesus set. Now, if we are going to reach up to that command, what does that actually look like? What does this love in action actually look like? Anyone interested? All right, is this all right? Come on, okay, I'll keep going. Now, before I tell you what it does look like, I'll tell you what it doesn't look like, okay? Because this used to be me. Because one of the things that used to hold me back from living the one another life was, it was excuses and a mindset that I developed. And it was this: I'm too busy, it's too inconvenient right now. And this for me was probably the biggest one. God, I have my own mission. And you've even given me promises around that. I'm trying to build this company, so I don't actually have time for anyone else because I want to build this company so I can give money and help finance the kingdom. Noble, and Jesus loves that. He loves a cheerful giver, but he didn't command us to do all those things. That's just an overflow of the place that he wants to get us to first. So we have these missions. And here's the thing, all right, ready? Jesus had been given a mission as well. It's not like he had all the time in the world. The mission that his father gave him, in short, it was to defeat sin and death, reconcile humanity to God, and establish God's kingdom through his life, death, and resurrection. Now, if we look at Jesus' life, especially the last 3 years, not only did he complete this mission, but he did so much more, all while he was on mission. He had a mission, but on that mission, here's some of the things that he did. He preached the good news. He healed the sick. He casted out demons. He taught profound spiritual truths. He raised disciples. He fed the hungry. He raised the dead. Come on, how awesome is Jesus? All while staying on mission. Did I say he raised the dead? Yes, I did. He brought peace. He confronted religious hypocrisy. He revealed the Father's will. He willingly suffered death on a cross. He rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven. Man. But what's so amazing about this is that all through this, he continued to demonstrate that love for one another. He was on mission. Then he did all these other things and he still didn't neglect the people that had been given to him, that had been entrusted to him. The big question I have is, I've got a lot of questions tonight. But it's like, how did he do this? How did he stay on mission, do all these miracles, saw breakthroughs and whatever else, and still had time to love on people? Different passages in the Bible, they give us clues around this. But the number one way that I found what Jesus was able to do and how he was able to do this, he just took people along the way. See, we sometimes overthink this. He took them on the journey. You can read this in the Bible. Story after story, Jesus walked alongside the people on the road to Emmaus. He walked with them. As he was on his way, it said, Jesus healed the woman with the issue of blood. It said, as Jesus was passing through, he was on the way, he was doing things, he called Zacchaeus to him. As he went on from there, it says, he called Matthew, one of his disciples, to follow him. See, we get this all wrong. We think we have to like add something to this, but it's as we're doing what God's already called us to do, he's going to give us more opportunity. As he was taking a drink of water, just a normal thing, he gave the woman at the well fresh revelation. This is the key to not making this bigger than what it is. Jesus simply did life together with people. He walked with them. He went on the journey with them. As I said, the one another life, we sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, but we think we have to make it this extra thing. But I don't think that's what God's asking us. God's giving us direction of where he wants to go. And then on that journey, just bring them in the fold. Get people to walk alongside you. If you're further ahead, show them what you've done. If you're behind, start encouraging them and learn from them. It's the one another life. We're not meant to do it on our own. And it's not meant to be hard. It's not meant to even more like more draining or more busy on our schedule. That's not what he's wanting to do. He just wants us to follow his example. Like I did, like I loved on these people. Simple. Taking people along the journey that we ourselves are on. So here's what this looks like for me. Some real life examples, okay? I'm a marketer and I always have to give real life examples and proof of how I do this. So for me in my life, it's simple. I lead a group, I go to a group, and I pray for people. That's how and you know what? I already do most of those things. You'll see. Here we go. So lead a group. So I run a prayer group. Again, running this prayer group doesn't actually cost me a whole heap of extra time because I pray in the mornings anyway. Like that's who I am. I wake up and I want to pray. So for close to 8 years now, I think it is, I've just allowed a bunch of guys to join me during prayer time. Here's what I get to do though. I get to teach them, I get to pray with them, and I get to pray for them. Doesn't cost me any more time. And I think Pastor John, he did a bit of a preach on this a while ago, and he's a bit of a marketing guy too. He's got a slogan for this, and he coined it this, but it's actually really helpful. I like it. Do what you do and take one or two. Do what you do. I'm going to pray anyway, but I'm going to take one or two with me. One or two people, one or two at a time. I'm praying anyway at the time. Why not take others along the journey? No need to overcomplicate it. So I lead a group. I go to a group. Now, the point for me isn't to just try and get everything I can out of the group. Again, I want to do life with people. Going to a group, your leaders, the people around you, they're going to invest in you. They're going to want to pray for you. But if you really want to grow and take a hold of this promise that Jesus has here to live like he has and then to have life to the fullest, you need to engage in the group as well. So don't just go to receive. I go because I want to know what's going on in the other people's lives. I want to know that when I pray, what to actually pray for specifically. I want to know and stand with them, laugh with them, cry with them. I am a crier. It's okay. But that's life. That's doing life together, one another life. And it doesn't have to be hard. We just go along to a group. How hard is that? And then you can just ask someone at the group, hey, I want to pray for you. What's one thing that I can pray for? Like, how long is that going to take you in the mornings? 1 minute, 2 minutes, say the name. God, here's their need. I thank you that you're going to provide. That's how we do the one another life. That's what being a pastoral-hearted person is. You don't have to be a pastor. We just got to get the heart for it. And I believe Jesus wants to release that into us here this evening. Last thing is I pray for people. So another way that is very doable for everyone here is just praying for people in your quiet time. Again, it doesn't have to take up your whole quiet time, 10 minutes. Just pray for the person and do the formula that I just taught you. Here's this person. Here's what they need. Lord, I thank you that you're going to provide it for them. Now, every morning I'll pray for my family, my business, my leaders, and I've made it a habit to also pray for a handful of people that God has given me. So I just want to go wider because I've got a pretty good rhythm with the things that are closest to me, but God, I want to invest extra. And it's a thing that you grow in. Don't try and take on 15 or 20 people. Just pray for three. Use three people that are in your group as a test project and just say, I want to pray for you for the next 3 weeks. And you'd be amazed what happens in that time. You're going to get prophetic words for them. The Holy Spirit's going to reveal insights. He's going to give you scriptures. And then, this is what I love. You think it's actually you putting in the work, but when you release a word over someone, when you encourage someone, it actually fills you up. The world of the generous gets larger and larger, the Bible says. When we give, we actually receive. Give and you shall receive. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. That's what this one another life is about. It's not doing it alone. It's knowing what the example is and asking Jesus for help, asking the Holy Spirit to walk this walk with us. Then it's just taking one or two and do what you do. It's simple. But you know what happens then? You start to have impact. And the rest of that scripture says, we'll be known by this. It'll be the mark on us. Pastor Teresa, she preached this morning. It's like the brand of Jesus on you when we do this stuff. The mark on us. We start to have impact in the world. For me, when I got this, this was a game changer. So lean in. This is powerful. Because I believe that God wants to bless all of us here tonight. With all my heart, I believe it. I know that he's for us. He wants to prosper us. He's got a plan for us. He's got a hope and for a future. And he wants us to live our best lives. 100%. Jesus put it, Teresa, you said it earlier on as well. Pastor Teresa said that we have life and have it abundantly. He wants that for us. But here's what I've learned. All his blessings, all his favor, it's not just for me. It's so through me and what he did for me, I can now do the same for others. That's the big unlock in our Christian life. When the blessings in our life collide with the need of others, that is what the scripture unlocks for us in our lives. For my wife, Marina, and I, what this looks like is being generous with our money. We have a spiritual gift of giving. And one of the ways that we express love to one another in this church environment and outside is by being generous, meeting people's needs on a financial level. And that's just one way that God gives us gifts. Yours might be the gift of mercy, serving, encouragement, prophecy, healing, evangelism, teaching, the apostle. But if you look at those gifts, it makes sense that these gifts aren't just for us, right? Like, imagine this. Imagine you have the teaching gift and then there's no one to teach. And you're just teaching yourself. You're just getting smarter and smarter yourself. And you never get to share it with anyone. I don't know what you call that person. Imagine having the gift of encouragement and then you just talk to yourself all day. And you just tell yourself how awesome you are. Kind of missing the point. It's for others. Imagine this. You've got the gift of healing and you just heal yourself and everyone else around you stays sick. Life wouldn't be fun. Everyone's sick, they're down, you're living the best life, but you're doing it on your own. So our blessings, our gifts, the things God wants to give us, He delights in our prosperity. He wants the best for us. But the big unlock is when we actually use those resources, use those gifts, and use those talents, and we pour it back into others. That's the one another life. I believe this is when heaven touches earth. This is when His kingdom comes here on earth as it is in heaven. It's when I start to actually feel like I'm somewhat measuring up to what Jesus commanded us to do in the scripture. And man, nothing beats the satisfaction of seeing God move in my life than Him using me to bless others and then seeing their lives being transformed. That's what our church is all about. Transformed lives. It's the greatest honor. And I'm running out of time and I haven't got stories, but it's just so fulfilling when you see guys from not even being able to pray and say one word to then declare things and take charge of their lives because they take charge and a hold of things in the Spirit. When you're praying together for houses, like Pastor Teresa said, I was praying with Falinga 10 years ago around about that. No one in his family, children of a family of 9 people, no one has ever bought a house and he's the first one, and we broke through in prayer. That is impact. We're impacting people around us. It's the most satisfying experience. It is living up to the new standard Jesus has set for us when He commanded us to love one another as He has loved us. And I reckon He wants this unlocked for every single person here tonight. Not just our pastors, not just the people with the gift, the pastoral gift as a dominant gift. It's for everyone. Question is, are we willing? Are we willing to actually do these things and put meat to the bone of the things that we've just learned tonight, to actually understand what Jesus' love is, what that love looks like in action? Take one or two, do what you do, and then not just hoard it for ourselves, but pour out. That is the new command from Jesus. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Church, let's close our eyes. I just want to pray for us. Because I don't want this to just be a nice message that makes us feel good. And then we go out of here and nothing's changed. And you may still feel lonely. You may still feel like you have no one. I don't want that for you. So I want to give us some next steps. Some of us, the next step we got to take is just simply go along to a group. There are so many good groups in this church, so many life-giving groups where people want to do life together with you. Some of us, that's our first step. And I get it. There might be people in the room here. Actually, if that is you, if you've got fear and anxiety going along to a group, just give me a quick wave. No one's watching, but I just want to pray for those kind of people that are struggling with this, because that is not from God. He doesn't want you to be alone. If you're feeling that anxiety and that's why you haven't joined a group, I want to pray for you in a moment. The other type of person, I see your hand, we're going to pray in a moment. The other type of person is where you just haven't engaged and you just haven't caught the fire. So I just want to pray for us for that as well. That's some of us here. Is that you? If there's anyone here where you just haven't engaged, you go along and you're a spectator, but you haven't actually participated. You actually haven't poured out. Is there anyone in here that's like that? And I can pray for you and break that. Thank you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to break that off. That's not from God. That's from the devil. That's a spiritual thing, a stronghold that we're going to break in the name of Jesus right now. I take authority in the name of Jesus. Get off this gentleman. Get off him. I release the love of the Father. I release courage like never before over you. I release the spirit of Joshua that took land, that took property, that went into a land without fear. I pray, Father, Lord, that you help this gentleman go to a group and he will find his people. Jesus, you were rejected so we can have fellowship. And I pray that he would find fellowship in the right group. We pray that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. There is some people here and this has just stirred you up where you're like, man, this pastoral thing, this is my jam. And it's okay if it's not all of us here, but if that's you, I wanna pray for you as well. Is there anyone here where you're like, man, I wanna lead a group. I wanna go to that next level. I see your hand, that's great. I'm gonna pray with you. I'm gonna pray with you there in the middle. And you actually, if you don't mind, do you want to come out the front? I just feel like God's going to move here tonight. If you put up your hand, just come to the front. I'm going to pray right now for something to shift. I think there's going to be an impartation of anointing, a fresh anointing to lead. If you want that to lead a group, if you want that, the possibility that you're going to join the care team maybe, that you one day you're going to actually step into a pastoral role where you'll be doing stuff like this, where you're going to impact people for the kingdom. If that's you, come out the front right now. We're not going to take long. It's not going to be a big hurrah, but it's going to be powerful. You guys ready? This is like a line in the sand moment where you're saying, God, I want to go all in. So as I pray, and if you're ready to go all in, I'm going to pray for you and I'm going to pray for the Holy Spirit to go before you, that God will make a way, but I want you to make a declaration and actually take a step forward. So in the name of Jesus, I release your love, I release your grace to operate in this pastoral anointing over every single person that's out here right now, Father God. I pray for your power to come upon every single person here, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're ready to step into your next stage, I want you to take a step forward right now. In the name of Jesus, step forward into your calling. I can see that. I pray courage. I release courage over you. I release that the next steps, it won't be your reality. It'll be the reality of God. God, I pray favor. I pray an anointing. Lord, that they would not operate in their own strength. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fill them from the top. Thrill them from the top. A Holy Spirit anointing over every single one. A Holy Spirit anointing. A Holy Spirit anointing. A Holy Spirit anointing. Full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. Full of His Spirit. Full of His wisdom. Full of His courage. Full of His grace. Full of His kindness. 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 You're going to show kindness to people like never before. I release it in the name of Jesus. And God, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing. I want you to know that He's for you. He will be with you. The Bible says He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's His promise. And He is the most awesome thing. And if our God is for us, who can be against us? No one. Victory is ours through Jesus and through what He did on the cross. So I just release that. I release victory over groups, victory after car pastoral care teams, victory as they go into the streets and meet people, as they step into the next stage of their one another life. I declare victory in the name of Jesus. Come on, church. Let's lift our hands. Let's praise Jesus for what He's gonna do in these guys' lives. Awesome. Come on, I'm so proud of you guys. So proud of you. Don't let tomorrow be the same as tonight, as today. Step into that calling. See some people, see Pastor Teresa, see Pastor Josh, so you can step into what's available here. We've got so many awesome pathways. There's so much to do. There's such need out there. We need you. I'm so proud of you. I love the 20%. You're unique. God loves you, and the mark of God is on your life. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give it up for these guys. Awesome. You can go back to your seats.